Nick and Jake. A nostalgic look back at those halcyon days of the McCarthy era. A journey through literature and history, starring Alan Arkin, Tom Conti, and Ally McGraw. Previously on Nick and Jake, Claire Booth Luce revealed a plan for France.
When the moment is right, we'll have him photographed drinking milk.
And did Ronnie reveal too much?
I feel like I'm not a girl anymore. I'm a woman. Apartment C, 14 and a half McDougal Street, New York, April 9th, 1953. Dear Jackie, hi girl, surprised to hear from me? How are things at the Martha Washington? Still breaking all the rules and getting away with it? I need you to tell me something. I hope I haven't made a terrible mistake. I really, really, really hope. Because I wrote the letter a few days ago and I already sent it off. And then I started thinking about, well, if there's a guy you think maybe you really like more than anyone else in the world, and he's a long way away, like maybe Paris, France, and you wrote him a letter, and in it you said, I'm not a girl anymore, I'm a woman, would he get the wrong idea? Can you keep a secret? I went to this party with Mr. Scheinblum at his friend Jerry Wexler's, who owns a record company. The Weavers were there, except Mr. Seeger, and Burl Ives, and we were going to hear this wonderful new blind singer and piano player that Mr. Wexler's label has just signed. He was real cool. And you know what? He sang this one song where he needed some girl singers in the background, and Jerry told me to get up with these two Negro girls named Ruth and Laverne. I think they were the best singers I ever heard, and I had no business singing with them, but they were awful nice to me and told me to keep at it. Afterward, this young guy named Chuck came up to me. He's a singer and songwriter from St. Louis. He's here trying to get a recording contract, and he told me he really liked the way I sang and the way I looked. He couldn't get over my eye makeup, and I told him it was just Maybelline, that all the girls down in Greenwich Village wear lots of eye makeup to look more sophisticated. I told him back in my school days in Winnetka, I thought the height of being grown up was to wear tight dresses and lipstick and high-heeled shoes. But all that seemed so teenage now. Anyway, he kept looking at me when we were talking. It made my skin go all goosebumpy, and I could tell he wanted to, you know. But just then there was a big commotion, and Mr. Scheinblum had gone all purple and couldn't breathe, and he was saying, the cat, Mr. Wexler's cat had gotten out of the bedroom and jumped in his lap, and Mr. Scheinblum is deathly allergic, and I had to take him home. So I didn't get to see Chuck again. But that other guy from the Weavers, whose name I can never remember, drove us. And after we got Mr. Scheinblum to bed, he insisted on driving me home. And I don't know, Jackie, maybe it was that I was still so hot and bothered or whatever from being with Chuck. But next thing I knew, well, you know that thing I was that I didn't want to be? Well, I'm not anymore. The worst of it is, I still can't think of his name. They say a girl never forgets her first. I guess I'll never remember. Your friend, Ronnie. P.S. Do you think it was okay? The letter, I mean?
Robert John Associates, 1853 K Street Northwest, Suite 830, Washington, D.C., April 10th. Dear Roy, I had breakfast up on the hill with your boss this morning. McCarthy is as proud of you as if you were his nephew. Believe me, he's following the headlines from your trip like they were box scores from the Washington Senators. Over coffee, he looked a little down, and for a moment I thought I sensed a little disappointment that there hadn't been anything really climactic. "A capper," he said, dabbing distractedly at a spot of egg yolk on his tie. "There's got to be a capper." But then he looked up at me, and a big grin spread across his face. "He'll do it," he said. "The kid's got imagination. The kid's got balls. You watch, Cohn. That nephew of yours will come up with something spectacular." I tell you, Roy, watching that smile spread across that 5 o'clock shadow, and this is morning, mind you, it was like watching the sun break through storm clouds over a Wisconsin swamp. That man thinks a lot of you. He's expecting something big. I know you won't let him down. Your proud uncle, Robert.
Jacqueline Suzanne, Martha Washington Hotel for Women, New York City, April 10th, 1953. Ronnie. "Don't worry, kiddo. Men are all alike. If a man likes you that way, he suspects you with every man who ever lived. But he doesn't really think you'd ever do it with anyone except him. So don't worry. It never hurts to keep him guessing." So, little Ronnie! Woo! But here is a word of advice from a babe who's fallen off a few cabbage trucks in her day. You can have a fling or two, but when you get ready for the one that counts, here are your Aunt Jackie's 3 rules for choosing a man. Rule number 1, think older. Rule number 2, think Jewish. So far, your friend Wexler sounds like he's got potential, but don't ever forget rule number 3, think Broadway. All that jazzy jazz and folky folk stuff will never get you anywhere. This is New York, kiddo. Love and kisses, Jackie.
From the desk of Alan Dulles, by Diplomatic Pouch, April 10, 1953. Caraway, sorry to have had to leave you out in the cold through all of this. I trust in your heart of hearts you never doubted that I and the agency were behind you. But for obvious reasons, it was important that this situation be allowed to unfold in a way that would arouse no suspicion whatsoever. Mind you, the McCarthy development was not one that we put into play, but here at the company I've encouraged a tradition of seat-of-the-pants adapting to circumstances that I learned from my mentor, Wild Bill Donovan. So when the junior senator gave us a way to position you deep undercover where you could do the most good, it was a gift we had to seize. I apologize if it caused any difficulties for you personally. You can't make sausage without letting a little blood. I've kept a close eye on you. Believe me when I say we were never going to let anything bad happen to you. There were moments when we were on the verge of stepping in, but instead we watched with gratified fascination as your instincts took you in exactly the right direction. You're good, Caraway. You're damn good. Someday when this is all over and the world is safe, you and I need to sit down with a bottle of bourbon and talk about what you knew and how you managed it. The pieces are moving into place. The time is now. Bring in Barnes, Dulles.
Nick and Jake was written and directed by Jonathan Richards and Tad Richards, with music by Dave Grusin. Featured in the cast were Natasha Warner as Ronnie Gilchrist, Jonathan Richards as Robert Cohn, Rosalia Triana as Jacqueline Suzanne, and Ambassador Joseph Wilson as Alan Dulles. Tune in next time to hear Jerry Wexler say,
"Ahmed, let's keep an eye on this kid. She's got nice tits, which is reason enough, but there's more.